is a medical student at Michigan State University, and Virginia Fernandez is a student at NOVA in Broward County in Florida. I just wanted to say a few words before I open up the floor for more questions and discussion. Had wanted to start a podcast since 2010 or and 11 when I was a medical student myself. However, I did not, at the time, I was not thinking in terms of a medical related podcast. I was going through depression phase in my med school, and I was falling back on my second love, which is history. So I wanted to do something about like the history of the country where I was in. Then about 7 or 8 years later, when I was a resident in pathology in Galveston, I wanted to do a podcast such as this, in which I talked to different subspecialists and asked them what makes their specialty so unique. I mean, it has happened now, but at the time it did not happen. And then I wanted to start another podcast, number three, which was going to be with a friend of mine who lives in England. And we wanted to do something about like an expat experience for people from my country. And we wanted to talk about stuff that we have been through and like what people like us or people who are like outside our country, who what do they go through? What are their issues? Because not a lot of people were talking about that. That never happened either. So after going through all of this, I was fortunate enough to meet Meredith at UPMC. Well, she was doing an AVA rotation, and she was like, I think you should do this. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I can. I mean, I have been thinking about these things for so long. And then when I thought a little more about it, the podcasting somehow in the US at least is becoming a very lonely male profession kind of thing. And I didn't want to do that. Like, I didn't want to be like the guy in his basement just like ranting or doing stuff like that. I mean, I know there are some nice people doing that, but I didn't want to be that person. So I asked her to be a co-host so that, number one, because she is also a medical student, so she brings a very different perspective to these things, and not just because of gender, but also because of a different viewpoint from my own. And then we were sitting at a Chinese buffet in Pittsburgh when a medical student from University of South Florida recommended or suggested that we give it a name, Follow Your Path. His first name was Neil. I never found out his last name. So wherever you are, Neil, if you're listening, thank you very much for this. Once we had the name and we had the co-host, then the fun part started, which was looking for guests and scheduling for guests. And how are we going to record this? What platform are we going to use? And we have been through a bunch. This is our fourth platform, I would believe, in the last 3 months. We started off with then we went to Zoom. This is the third one. This is the third one. I also went through a bunch of hardware things. Like, I bought different microphones and like headphones. And the scheduling was hard because everyone that we're going to talk to are practicing pathologists. They're busy. And it takes like even taking 30 minutes out of your time a day, it's hard. And I want to thank every single person who responded to my emails. Many of them had never heard from me. They didn't know who I was. But I think that is the magic of pathology, that people are kind and they volunteer and they're willing to talk to a stranger such as myself. And they want to give advice to medical students and residents. The people that we interviewed were in academia, which sort of is a function of the fact that as a resident or as a fellow, most of the people who I interact with are in academia, because I trained at an academic institution and I'm still doing that. Not all people who train in pathology do that. There are a few programs in the US who have private practice places attached to their residency program, but most are primarily academic. And we had people from, I was looking that we have people from almost all over the US who we did interviews with. There are some common themes that I want to mention, and then I want to talk to you guys about what your thoughts were. So one thing that I noticed was a lot of people, much more than I thought, were post-sophomore fellowships in pathology. That was something odd for me, like not odd, odd because number one, I'm an IMG. So when I was in Pakistan, I had never even heard of what a PSF is. And the first time I heard was when I was a resident, and I believe it was Emily Towery, who is now, I believe, somewhere in one of the Boston programs. But I didn't know that so many of the luminaries in pathologies had also done PSF. And another thing that I noticed was many people that we interviewed who are now experts in their fields, when they started off as residents, they didn't know that they were going to do that particular field. And they had the opportunity, they saw an opportunity, they saw an opening, and they took it. They were not initially wanting to be X, Y, or Z pathologists, but they saw that there was an opportunity in their program, or they had a mentor who was an expert in their field, or who was an excellent teacher, or who was an excellent mentor, and then they just went that way. And they are now experts, like world-renowned experts in that particular field that they initially didn't even choose. So that, I think, it's a learning moment for everyone, including myself, that to take opportunities when you can, Another thing that I learned was for slightly smaller subspecialties where there are not a lot of people, everyone was very enthusiastic about sharing resources so that if you are interested in some specialty that is not as big as, let's say, for example, derm or GI, then you can join their societies, you can use the resources that they have, and people obviously are very welcoming, and you can email people. Like, people were willing to give out their emails on the podcast. They wanted to hear from everyone. They wanted to know if anyone is interested, they're willing to help. So again, that I think is also what I attribute to the magic of pathology. So now I want to open the floor to Casey about.
Yeah, definitely. So man, this podcast has been a wonderful venture. You know, I applaud you. I applaud Meredith of Virginia. I mean, everyone who was able to take some time. It's, you know, my path, so to speak, has taken me through a transitional year intern. As a transitional year intern, doing a bunch of general medicine rotations all over again. But throughout this year, I've been able to do some pathology rotations. And now, if I said this story before, I've said it to some people, but you know, my path really began once I actually got connected to Meredith, and she said, "Casey, you gotta get on Path Twitter, man. Twitter, there's something here." And I was like, "I've never done Twitter." I was like, "All right, I mean, I don't know what to do. I'm gonna put myself out there." And you have this amazing community, right? Of pathologists, residents, fellows, med students, and you know. It's to me, I have a very difficult time walking away from football. I looked at myself as a football player for many years. That's something that I did through high school, through college. I always saw myself playing in the NFL, right? And that just wasn't the reality. So when I started medical school, I was still kind of conflicted with, you know, the fact that I am interested in medicine, I'm interested with helping people, but I'm still a football player, and like, that was my people, and I need to find my people over again now.
Yeah.
And having gone through this process, having listened to the podcast, having done some interviews, I finally feel like I'm where I'm meant to be right now in this career, and I think in this walk of life. And I think that's something that's so special about this podcast. What you've done is you've given people opportunities to just talk about themselves, talk about why they do what they do, why they love what they do. Because I think pathology is one of those fields that just a lot of medical students, you don't get that exposure to in regards to as a career, you know? And I think that's so important. You know, I think something that has come to be, I think, a passion of mine is always something I'm really interested in learning more about as I move forward is bone soft tissue path and derm path. And this podcast has inspired me to do my own podcast. And that's, you know, so far looking to be started after the new year, which I'm so excited about. Awesome. I remember Dr. Gardner said, when he was talking about sarcoma pathology, and I'm not going to forget these words because it just like jumped right out at me. He said why he likes it, why he loves it. It's a rareness and esotericness, or rare and esoteric. I think those are the words. And I said to myself, God, perfect. I'm sold. That's all you needed to tell me. And I just feel like that's exactly what I'm attracted to. And that's something that within pathology, you see a bunch of different things. You see the zebras, you see the horses, and you sit back behind the scenes and you talk with each other and you collaborate like a team, like a family, all for the, you know, points of trying to help patients out and help other doctors out. So this is a tremendously cool field. This is a great platform, and I tell you what, man, I'm blessed to be here and be a part of it.
We're blessed to have you.
All right, too. Meredith.
Yeah. I love every time he tells that story. Remember when we were talking? I was like, you're meant to be a pathologist. Let's get you on Twitter. And then, like, within a few tweets, I was like, he's going to be a celebrity. I can just tell. It's happening. Casey was a celebrity overnight. And that's – we also – yeah, on Twitter, too. And that's how I got to know Abdullah, actually, on Twitter. So, this was such a great season. And when Abdullah, you know, had the idea, I was like, well, this is actually really cool. We have a lot of subject material to cover and a lot of voices to share. And you know, we got that, you know, follow your path idea at the Chinese restaurant with Dr. Ho and Neil, the dermatology student who was applying to derm. And we're like, well, we can just record it like on our computers and we'll get, you know, speakers. And Abdul's like, can you be my co-host? I'm like, sure. I've never done this, but okay, we'll do it. And so now I'm the sound engineer, as Abdul likes to say. So it's just been fun to learn a new skill and, you know, edit these episodes and hear everyone's story. As you guys were talking, I jotted down a few ideas, you know, some themes that spoke to me was that we all have a story to tell. And it's, you know, obvious we've all had different trajectories in life and different paths, so to speak, you know, into pathology. And some people had other specialties that they were in and transitioned into pathology or mentors or some, you know, life-changing event and that sparked their interest to go into pathology. Another was that, you know, we can all learn from each other's experiences and no one's experience is the same. And I think every speaker we had on this podcast truly had their own unique story to share. And we're glad that we were able to help share their story with others. And also there's no clear path into pathology, you know, follow your path, not someone else's path, but your own path. I know it's very like generic, but we truly have had our own stories and our own downs and ups and, you know, trials and error going through this. And, you know, we've all risen above it and become who we are today. So it was just a joy to hear everyone's stories and what they'd been through. I think the thing that stuck out to me the most was all these unique cases that people shared that, whether it was like Dr. Adkins' own breast cancer case that she saw, or, you know, Dr. Gardner's, you know, skin cancer case, you know, BST cases. I mean, everyone's unique perspective on pathologies and how they were able to discover new pathologies and name a new entity. And I mean, it goes on and on. So we hope you all can go back on the season and reflect on those unique cases. So with that, someone else can take it away.
Yeah, Virginia.
Sure. So, I mean, it's honestly been a privilege for me to be invited to do some of these episodes. I didn't know about Path Twitter either. I found out about it this year, at the beginning of the year, thanks to one of my, upperclassmen who already graduated and also went into Path. And I had never used Twitter, and I didn't really want to use Twitter. But, you know, I did it. And obviously, I met all of you guys through Twitter and tons of other people. So honestly, it was the best thing that happened to me for my path, you know, towards path. I guess I'm a little different because I knew that I was going to do pathology back in college, you know, and I had exposure to the medical examiners for a long time. So I went into med school knowing that that's what I was going to do. And, you know, like Casey said, you don't really get a lot of exposure to path when you're in medical school. So it wasn't until my fourth year that I actually got to do rotations. And I also fell in love with bone and soft tissue when I did a rotation with Dr. Rosenberg at UM. And, you know, it's obviously one of the fields that I'm definitely looking forward to going to. And, you know, there's one thing that I've learned from doing this podcast is that, you know, as Meredith said, everyone has their own path. And it's been really nice to get to know all these pathologists and what drove them to go into a specific field or even to go into pathology when some of them didn't even consider it in the first place until, you know, the very end or by chance, you know, they happened to find out about the field and fell in love with it and fell in love with the diagnosis and all the different ways we diagnose disease now and how it's all driven, you know, by pathology. But yeah, that's what kind of, you know, I guess stuck out to me the most and their passion. And actually one thing that I actually really enjoyed was we did a recent podcast with Dr. Reyes, the pediatric pathologist, and he actually showed us his most interesting case that he had. And
yeah, he actually shared a screen. Yeah. She actually shared his screen with us, like not just like describing. He actually showed us the case.
Oh, yeah, it was nice to actually see, you know, how he came across this case, what he got out of the case, and, you know, the papers that were published because of this case, you know, being so rare. And I thought that maybe, you know, obviously not practical for a podcast that you listen to, but it would be so nice, you know, in the future to have other pathologists that we interview, you know, bring that to the table and have us, you know, seeing, you know, what these cases were actually like, especially us that were, you know, in the field of pathology. But other than that, I mean, it's been a privilege, and it's so nice to continue, you know, to get to know other pathologists and spread the word about this very small community, and hopefully, you know, get more people to come into this field.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, Virginia. So two moments that sort of like, I would say, I'm a very cynical person, so there are very few things that actually move me. Dr. Atkins' story, when she shared it, and it was after, Meredith, do you remember? It was after, well, we had almost finished our like recording, and she was like, oh, can I tell that story? And we were like, I mean, yes, you can. Like, there's no compulsion on you not. If you want to tell, like, it's for the rest of the world. They can listen. And she shared it. So that was like, that was a moving thing. Like you get to see this person, know this person, and they have been through this experience. And the second one was, as Virginia, you mentioned, Dr. Reyes's case. It was like I don't know if it comes through in the podcast, but I was just lost for words. Like, I was like, I don't know what to say. Like, I'm just shocked. Like, I don't know what to say. I'm just like awed overall. Like, I just don't know what to say. I got emotional with that. It was one of those moments. Some other themes that I saw, something that comes out is pathologists are usually, and I don't want to harp on about misconceptions as you guys may be like tired of listening, that pathologists are this or that, but some really, really interesting people. Like, we had two people who trained in music. We had two people who do theater, active, like still do or have done in the past. So we have people who, like, we have people doing all kinds of like interesting stuff, not just pathology, which they are very good at, but they also do, like, actually we have three people who did music. Two of them are trained, and the third one does on the side. And it's just like, so interesting to know that our field has so many like hidden talents. I don't know if you guys are aware of the Engage Leadership Academy that the CAP does in Chicago in November or so every year. I encourage you and any of our listeners who are interested in leadership training to go there for a weekend and do that. And it's open for residents. So unfortunately, medical students are not yet involved in the project. But once you become residents, which all three of you are going to be next year, I would recommend that you apply for that. And so there, on the first night, I remember when I was there, they asked everyone in the room, and it was like residents, fellows, attendings of different, like junior attendings and senior attendings, like all whole gamut. They asked everybody, what would you do if you were not a pathologist? And everyone had such interesting answers. Like, there were like so many different answers. Like, I was just amazed at what these people are capable of. Like, they're amazing people. Another thing that I noticed was that pathologists, this is a within the pathology community joke that pathologists are tied to their coffee cups, like they're always drinking coffee, which may or may not be true, but at least during our interviews, since we get to see a lot of people in their offices, I saw at least three or four people, and some of them were caught on video. There were like Diet Cokes there, so I don't know if those people are not drinking coffee or they are supplementing the caffeine that they're getting from there. So those were some like minor observations that I had. And if you guys have any like thoughts, any observations, you guys or any of you, you're more than welcome to share.
Actually, yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that pathologists tend to have hidden talent, but it's funny how it's all artistic. Most of the time, you have either people who love to draw or paint, you know, what they see under the microscope, but you also have people who did theater or still do theater or did music. I actually used to do theater myself. So I guess there's a trend going on in pathology where, you know, or maybe that's just one of the things that draws us to the field, you know, the artistic part of, you know, this profession. So yeah. I'm definitely not surprised that that's a thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, especially what I've I think seen throughout this past however many months now, you know, since this my path to path, and is that people is not afraid to be themselves, be who they are, express who they are in so many different ways. You know, some people are great musicians. They're actors, they're actresses, they're artists, they're athletes, football player, right? And I think that's so important. I think for anyone, anywhere, is to be able to be yourself and to feel comfortable being yourself. You know, I've told this before to many, and if there are any medical students listening, I really hope they take these words to heart. That if it's not pathology, fine. But you find yourself in a field, in a walk of life where you know that you can just be your unapologetic self and people will love you, respect you, work with you for who you are, and then vice versa, right? Once you're getting into these thought processes or patterns of, man, I have to change how I walk a little bit. So maybe I should start wearing these types of clothes. Take a step back and recognize that maybe you're not where you're meant to be, and that's okay. So that's just something that I think has really stuck out to me, and I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be a part of this. I think this fun party of folks.
It's always a party in pathology. That's true.
Meredith also paints.
Yeah, so. I also paint, and you know, I remember like talking to a professor and like, well, usually people will go into pathology, they usually have a creative side, and I was like, well, it's interesting. What I was going to say is, you know, the individuality and how pathology really embraces that and how we are all very unique in our own ways. I'm sure Casey and Virginia have noticed during interviews, you know, they always skip to the hobbies and they're always so excited about your hobbies, and it could be the smallest things. And it's like, they are really excited that you play an instrument or that you do art or you do football, or they love that and they look for that too. And I think it's a testament of our specialty and the people in it. They embrace that and want you to continue doing those things and do whatever it can, you know, they can to support that. So that's just one of my final thoughts about following your path following who you are.
I was about to say, I have talked about my fiance and mine's pet blue dwarf shrimp in every single interview. So yes, again, any medical students listening, you should put hobbies in the hobby section of your interview and be excited about those. Oh, I've had some great talks about the shrimp. Oh my gosh.
It's definitely a hot topic during interviews. My hobbies get asked about all the time. And I love it because it's easy to talk about them because they're things that I enjoy. So
yes,
definitely put them in your hobbies. And don't be afraid to put things that maybe you think might not be, you know, the most appropriate things to do. But if you like to play video games and that's how you spend your time unwinding, do it. And talk about what video games you like. And yeah, you know, anything that inspires you, definitely I would include.
Yeah. And you all three of you can put podcaster in your hobbies as well, if you can now.
I've asked them up a few times. People have asked, what about this podcast? And they actually do listen to it. So, I mean, it has brought up a lot of discussion points.
Okay, so one last question for all of you. What was the weirdest, not weirdest, or I would say slightly odd time that you shared the podcast with, like someone who would not have, who's not from pathology, and you shared that you did a podcast with them and they may or may not have listened to it. So let me go first. My physical therapist, I don't know how I mentioned it, but they emailed me later. They were like, can you send me a link to your podcast? I was like, yeah, sure, definitely.
Wow.
Actually, that would be my husband, because he went through my Twitter and he was like, oh my God, you do a pathology podcast. And he was like super excited. And, you know, it's funny because I hadn't even mentioned it to him. And I was like, yeah, I told you I do a podcast. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to listen to it on the way to work. How cool is that? And he's not, he's an internal medicine. He's an internal medicine resident. So, you know, far away from wanting to be, you know, interested in any of this, but he was just so excited about it.
Yeah.
About to say, yeah, my fiance has definitely scrolled through my Twitter before, and just some of the stuff. She's like, "Oh my, Casey, you do this? You do this? Like, oh my god!" So it's 100%. She's applying for family medicine. Hashtag FM Revolution 2023.
I remember interviews, scheduled, and my fiance was like, "How do you have time to do all this?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I'm just making it work." But they're like, "Yeah, really? Like, how many more interviews?" I'm like, "I got interviewed this time and this time. So when you're coming home from work, just be quiet because I have another." And but he was so supportive. But made sure to listen to some of the episodes and was like, "That's really cool that you're able to do that." So you just kind of spread the joy of podcasting and see what goes on behind the scenes to make it possible. Yeah,
wonderful. Yeah, one of my friends who is not, she is in medicine. She is a nurse. Shout out to Kelly. She also listened to our podcast, and she's, I believe she's a hospice nurse now. Like she trained at UTMB where I was a resident, and we met while we were playing volleyball. So we have sort of like kept in touch since like then. And so she reached out to me. She was like, "Oh, I want to listen about this topic." I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm glad to send you the link to that particular like field of pathology if you're interested." So I was like, "Wow, this is interesting. I'm glad." So yeah, that's wonderful. All right, guys. So just a little bit of an announcement for people who may be listening. This is the end of our season one. For season two, we are going a little different. We will be talking to different medical professionals about burnout and physician wellness. We are not experts. Neither of us is an expert. However, that's something that is a topic that is close to my heart. As someone who has been through those things, I am really interested in learning about what the landscape looks like. How does it affect our specialty? Because it's a big thing, something that is not talked about in at least in general public in medicine now. It is that the suicide rate for physicians is much higher for both male and female physicians than the general population, and the rates of depression and other mental health issues is also much higher because of what we go through during our training, during our work, so in that vein, we wanted to talk to people who are, some of them are in are talking to people who are depressed or who are maybe suicidal, and we want to talk to some people who can basically tell us more about some things about physician wellness that are not talked about yet, or some things that may help in that regard. So please stay tuned for that. I hope you enjoyed this season, and your feedback is always welcome. And I hope you continue listening for our second season as well.
Special thank you to our listeners. Thank you so much for your support throughout this season. I hope that you enjoyed every episode. Until next time, enjoy a little excerpt from our upcoming episode for season two. The story for me is that during the pandemic, I had a ton of time on my hands. Where I used to travel every month, and I realized I was trying to escape the stress of my job. Just by leaving it, I was like, I'm escaping it for just a moment. So I used to travel a lot to try to escape the stress of the job. And then when the pandemic happened, and I couldn't travel. It was me and my thoughts, me, myself, I, and all my thoughts. I was like, okay, now I need to do something about my thoughts. I can't just keep outrunning them with more travel, more leadership, more papers, more CV items. I actually it's time to deal with them. And so I try to find a therapist in Denver. I've always been in therapy. I've really, really loved it, 30 plus years. I've always loved it. I could not find a therapist I liked. I left one of them in the middle of it. I was like, no, you for sure not. I couldn't find a therapist. And so finally I realized the only person that had openings, that was available, that I felt safe with, and I felt like they understood me, was another physician coach. And with the very first session, I started feeling better. It just blew my mind. It changed everything. And so I fell in love with coaching because of the results that it gave, that I created with it. And then I was like, well, listen, I don't just want to know these skills so that I help myself. I also want to figure out how are these coaches doing this? Like, it seems like abracadabra magic. And I'm a scientist, like I want to know how. So then I became a coach.